And then, at the end of the week, we have him, after a conspiracy that had been going on for some time, the chief priests, the scribes, some Pharisees, the people who were supposed to be the representatives of God to the rest of the people, had been in stealth conspiring to come up with some reason to crucify Jesus, to put him to death. So the question arises immediately after reading this gospel account, why did they want to kill him so badly? What was it that happened? So, you know, if we're going to really deal with this question in an honest way, the first thing we're going to have to do, really, is to lay aside some of the assumptions that we have had about Jesus down through the years. For example, some people have thought of Jesus as the ultimate nice guy. You know, the guy who walked around, patted children on the head, taught everybody to love one another. You know, don't be anxious. You know, the guy, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. Carried lambs around. The ultimate, just really nice, always smiling. People like that are not arrested and crucified. People may have laughed at somebody like that, but they would not have been threatened so much that they wanted him dead. So, what was it that triggered this conspiracy, this homicidal conspiracy, to eliminate Jesus? I think in order to deal with this question very briefly, we need to look at just two things. Recollect two things from the gospel accounts. The first is that Jesus, over and over again, confronted especially the religious leaders, the people who are supposed to represent God, the people through whom, when you see them, you see reflected back to you the presence of God's love for the world. He confronted them continually on their hypocrisy. For example, when they were practicing spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, giving alms, and that sort of thing, he pointed out to his disciples, you see those guys over there? They're standing up there looking all pious, saying, you know, prayers that just drip with piety. Because they want to glorify God? Absolutely not. What's in their hearts is that they desire to be glorified themselves. They are seeking the approval of the crowd. They want everybody to say, look at me and how righteous and wonderful I am. Their practices had nothing to do with seeking God. And what was reflected back to people was the fact that they were hypocrites. In their heart was greed, self-indulgence, the desire for fame and acclamation. But on the outside, they wanted to look all pious and wonderful. They wanted to look as if they were representatives of the divine power that created the universe. When in fact, these people were very small. And so, when someone confronts powerful people with their hypocrisy, when someone exposes it to the light of day so that everybody can see it, when someone comes along and says, what's in this person's heart has nothing to do with what's on the surface. Inside is self-indulgence, greed, every imaginable thing that you can think of that's an ego-centered, curved-in-on-themselves life. While on the outside, they look all pious. These people were threatened mortally by the fact that Jesus was exposing and pulling out to the light of day that which they kept hidden inside. When people are exposed, when somebody wants to put their real motives under wraps so that nobody sees who they really are, and then passes themselves off as somebody else, when that person is exposed, they're going to feel like they're mortally threatened. And Jesus said again and again, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, on the outside, you look all whitewashed, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones." They didn't take kindly to that. That's not the ultimate nice guy speaking. That's the guy who's confronting lies with the truth. That's the guy who wants to expose who the real God is and how the real God confronts us with the need to be honest about who we are, with the need to admit that our lives have gone off the rails, that we have turned away from God, that we are seeking with religious zeal things other than God. You know, human beings, Jesus represents the ultimate in what humanity is intended to be. Human dignity is far beyond what we think it is. Human dignity is defined by the fact that we were made ultimately to live in complete and total reconciled lives with our God and to reflect the love of that God in our hearts. If you could boil Jesus' teachings down to one simple thing, this is what it would be. We are here to receive the powerful spiritual love of our Creator into our hearts so that it can flow through us and out into the world, making us people who are not focused on seeking self-interest, but people who are focused on being healers, reconcilers, servants, people who are looking to mend the broken world we live in, rather than people who are so focused on themselves that they can't do that. And the other thing that threatened them very, very to the core was the fact that Jesus was so clear about how God's love changes our lives, especially on the Sermon on the Mount. He completely surprised everybody. After he was done with that sermon, they said, "Never have we heard anything like this." For example, he said, "You have been taught to love your friends and hate your enemies. I tell you, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Never turn violence for violence." Jesus was teaching that the love of God is so powerful, so transformative, so life-giving, that people can even love those who normally we would reject out of hand. And the last thing we would do is pray for them. So Jesus' teaching and the fact that his life was totally consistent with what he said, he lived it, people could see that he lived in complete harmony and union with the love of God. And that he was offering that to everybody else. He was saying, "You can live like that too. If you seek with the same religious zeal the love of your Creator that you seek other things, then your life, after being humbled, because we all have to be honest about our need for God. We have to be honest about our need for forgiveness, honest about our need for mercy. We have to be honest about what's in our hearts. Not so that we might be judged, but so that we might be able to receive the love and forgiveness that will exalt us." and that will make human dignity so much more than it would be otherwise. So yes, the reason Jesus was crucified was because he represented someone who confronted darkness with truth, someone who confronted people's innermost thoughts and desires and challenged them to be different. Even in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the hero was a Samaritan. People hated Samaritans. How could you make a Samaritan the hero and the priest be the one that walked by? That's ridiculous. Yeah, he was confronting their biases, their prejudices against other people. Jesus' teaching confronted us with who we are, but it did much more than that. It offered us the opportunity to be healed and set free and loved to the point where we have the hope of eternal life. And that's why he died on the cross. Because we couldn't save ourselves, stepped into our shoes, took on the curse of sin and its consequence, death. And he took that on so that we might know it's being lifted from us. We are no longer cursed and rejected by God. He took that on himself. He was willing to be cursed and rejected. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, he knew. He had been rejected in our place so that we can be accepted and so that we might be able to live lives that are focused on a message where we have faith in the fact that we are accepted and loved by our God to the point where he will challenge us, change us, transform us, set us free, and give us the opportunity to be born as children of God. So he gives his life. But the story isn't over, is it? There's yet one more thing to wait for, one more event that will result in a victory over the sin that Jesus freely chose to expose. Stay tuned. Amen.
Now we respond to God's word with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Renewed in the promises of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church. Bless all who call upon your name. Unite your church in bearing witness to the gospel. Pour your love into our hearts and inspire us to pour out our lives in service to your world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the world. You declared your whole creation to be very good, and you made us stewards of its goodness, bounty, and well-being. Give us the will to curb our appetite for the world's resources and to put a stop to the pollution that harms all the earth's creatures, so that we may prove ourselves worthy managers of all you have made. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations. Give us the grace we need to overcome partisan differences so that we can work together and in mutual cooperation in solving the problems we face, both at home and abroad. Grant us the wisdom and insight we need to establish a just and lasting peace, both within our nation and with other nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need. Jesus reached out to the poor, the sick, and those who were in any form of trouble. Help us to follow in his footsteps and do likewise. We pray especially for those within our own community who are special in need today, including Hermione Bauer, Karen Reed, Kari Dahl, Leslie and Douglas Johnson, Lois Neiman, Norma Martin, Rosemary Nickel, Verena Brown, Holly Hermanson, Victor Prasad, Lucy Hermina, Amal Hermina, and Neil Osman. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who are celebrating anniversaries of their baptism this week, including Lynn Lovell, Lena Tuhi, Max Prasad, Sydney Prasad, and Helena Dummler. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Let us take a moment and share that peace with one another.
Thank you.
Peace be with you.
Okay, the ushers will now come forward to receive your offerings.